What you talking about? What the fuck you talking about, man? I can't understand you, bro. You talking crazy? Talking about pollution, overpopulation. Talking about UFOs, GMOs. These big old veins popping out in your neck, bro. You spitting, man, and breathing up my nose. What you talking about? What the fuck you talking about, dude? Back up a little bit, bro, 'cause you talking crazy.
You know, he sounds a little like Snoop.
Just maybe a little bit. Yeah, okay, anyway.
They all sound a little bit like
Snoop. No, he sounds more than most like Snoop.
It is the 30th of November, this month is almost over.
I'm sorry.
We can get started on a new month, and I'm excited for this new month. This is going to be a good month, I think. I'm glad you share those sentiments, Brian.
Sorry, I'm having two breaking news items over here, and neither one of them I want to deal with.
We'll get to those.
We'll
get
there.
It'll be shortly. We'll get to that. But what about personal stuff here? I mean, we just finished doing an investigation.
It doesn't matter.
It was previously undisclosed.
People, we were at the Grant Humphreys Mansion, and you weren't. Okay, there.
It's beautiful.
Now that it's over.
I love that place.
It was very attractive. And
it came with cookies.
It came with cookies and cheese. And you can have snickerdoodles.
I don't know. I didn't get one.
I know, but they were very good.
You guys cleaned
out. There were some left. And they were brought back up front. You could have taken them home if you'd been wise.
Yeah, because she wanted to get rid of them. But the thing is,
right.
Speaking of snickerdoodles, I have coming to me a chocolate and bacon snickerdoodle.
Yeah, I heard about
that.
Karen is bringing it.
She's going to bring it.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And then when it gets here, I'm going to say, it's already been brought in.
Okay, so. I think we need to get off that.
But, I will be sharing
everybody's
a bit of that.
Everybody's got a love life but me, and I'm jealous.
Well, I'm going to show some more love and share some of it with Brian.
Yeah, because there's nothing like a,
bacon snickerdoodle.
Yeah.
He's going to share the bacon snickerdoodle with you?
Yeah.
You really are?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I'm shocked.
This is Brian and Baxter, man. We're like this. We're like this. It's
little
like words,
toes
words
and
music.
One sock.
It's
there will be. Oh, God.
There will.
We
there,
got
Wednesday,
a cool
December
idea.
2nd
oh, wait.
In Chicago, there will be the Chicago Haunts promoting the telephone to the dead.
That means it's going to be a big show.
I doubt it.
In Chicago.
Oh, unfortunately, their telephone to the dead comes from Radio Shack.
But the
argument has been made that Thomas Edison was working on a ghost communications device.
And the argument has been lost.
Yeah, they lost that a long time ago, but...
They keep doing it anyway.
Lie.
That is ridiculous.
Okay, you're on a roll.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now this is... They're calling it the telephone to the dead, but Chris Moon is not associated with it. Shouldn't he be suing?
Tell Chris Moon.
We should report to Chris Moon.
It's a registered trademark, according to him.
Yeah. That this is wrong. They can't be doing that.
That's right.
Oh, Lord.
Radio Shack brings hell on earth. That's a good headline.
That is. That's a great headline. I almost just said, Lord, love a duck.
Bad.
Let me get some tissue if you're going to tear up.
I'm just like...
we have
slowly, I'll take over the world.
Yeah. Okay, shoot. I got lots of stuff today.
Okay.
Oh, I got to do it now.
Oh, well, that's what I thought you meant.
I'm sitting here, lean back.
Remember the last time you leaned back?
Yeah, last time I did, and there's no sofa.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
time.
You don't have a love sack behind you now. I'm sitting over here.
What's in it?
Ew, I just got that.
Okay, I'll do some news.
Unless there's anything else we want to talk about, we could talk about the Grant Humphreys for a moment if you want.
Oh, Grant Humphreys, people. If you want to see some really cool interior shots, go to RockyMountainParanormal.com/GHM. That's G-H-M. M as in...
That's like ghost hunting morons.
Nah.
Well, but it's...
You mean ghost hunting morons.
Well, I was going to say M as in, like... Like Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yes.
Resembling the Michelin Man.
Exactly.
Oh. You're making people in the chat room hungry. They're having to take food breaks. Who's that bacon?
There is a lot of food talk on this time, isn't there? But the Grant Humphrey's Mansion was really cool. Not a lot of paranormal groups get in there.
No.
And it's a beautiful
actually,
place.
One
it's
did,
got a great story.
And they got an EVP of a little girl speaking French.
Yes.
They think, because nobody's ever
spoken French in an EVP before.
Yeah. Even in France, they speak English in EVPs.
I know. EVPs are notoriously English. It's very, very interesting. And they're tenaciously
American
English.
American English.
Yes. Yes. You rarly even get... Every once in a while, you'll get a little bit of Cockney. But it's really
actually,
rare.
We had a group here in town that
drunk.
Was...
Yes.
We had a group here that was doing EVPs that had all English accents.
Oh, how cute.
Everywhere they went, their ghost had an English accent. Strangely enough, so did one of their members.
One of their members, but that's right. They had a British guy on the team, and they were wondering why all their EVPs were British, and they were all
that's
men.
That's because they were all put through his accent, the ghost.
He was channeling.
He was channeling.
He was channeling.
Him.
Yes.
That's got to be it. I think that's a good
I think
theory.
We need to get a German person on our team, because I would love to hear the German accented
Nine.
EVPs. That heavy. That's German. What I'm saying with the accent.
With the accent, okay.
Yes.
You know anybody that saw that movie? Nine?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah, me too. Okay, people.
See, the on our team, the only EVP that we would get that would have a German accent would be, put it down!
Exactly.
But that's Austrian.
Simmer down.
That's Austrian.
Yeah, it is more Austrian.
Slightly,
You're right. Well, because the simmer down comes from Arnold.
Yeah.
But the put it down comes from Brad Pitt in...
In Glorious Bastard?
No. Oh. In 7 Years in Tibet.
Oh.
So...
Who would remember that movie?
It's a great movie. That's it. I'm done.
You can't take my line.
There's only one bad movie that Brad Pitt really did.
And that would be...
What's that stupid movie?
A Boy
movie?
And His Dog.
No.
That was
the drive over the cliff with the two chicks.
Movie. I know, but it reminds me of Brad Pitt.
No, what was the name of it?
Thelma and Louise.
No,
that was a good movie.
Well, that depends on your perspective.
Cool World, practically a classic.
Cool World, yeah.
What was the name of it?
The Interview with the Vampire.
Vampire Lestat.
That one where he basically, it was a kind of a Western. He'd go meet a family and fall in love and get all of these friends and they'd get killed.
Was that?
And then he'd go to the next one and the same thing had happened.
Aiden Quinn.
And this went on for like, I believe the movie was about
and a river runs
16,
through it.
Maybe 18 hours long.
The Thornbirds?
Yeah.
I think it was in a river runs through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think it was.
A river runs through
wow, it. That yeah. was just a horrible movie.
Something like that. Someone in the chat room will know.
I liked Fight Club.
Be picking on Fight Club. Don't even talk about Fight Club.
I liked Fight Club. That was fun.
Only Chuck Norris talks about Fight Club.
That's true.
You know, you should do a Chuck Norris at the beginning of the show.
Well, we actually were doing that for a while. We were doing.
That's
we were,
one thing that
we were doing
I,
a lot of Chuck
I,
Norris
I have
facts.
To give, you know, give the
Ghost
respect
Hunters.
To Taps.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing they do at their investigations that I really like.
That we adopted.
Oh, then we can't do it.
Well, we adopted
we
that from
like them.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that was the one thing that we've adopted
but
from them.
I don't think we should now.
Yeah. I even asked that question at one of their lectures. They were letting people ask questions in the audience, and I actually asked that question about how much benefit did they derive from chanting Chuck Norris facts during the investigation.
You notice they just jumped right past that.
After giggling.
We should do Chris Moon factoids.
We've done that, too. We've done Stan Romanek facts. We've done Chris Moon facts.
So what, you can't remember any of them?
I remember the
talk to the dead.
I remember the Ken Deal joke. I remember that.
Which one was that?
That was the one where we talked about God having the mustache goatee and the 80s hair, and he just thinks it's Ken Deal. That was a fun one. But
it almost got us kicked out of the Taps family.
Yeah, us there when we had that little battle with Ken Deal.
Well,
that
is a good question.
We almost
are
got
there
kicked
any
out.
Chris Moon facts. Well, there's the fact.
There's the fact that he says that he was
called in by the Catholic Church, by the Pope himself, to solve a paranormal mystery when he was 16.
And the Pope said, I know that we have, you know, thousands of years worth of experience, but...
Let's call in this 16-year-old fuckhead.
16-year-old punk from Colorado, we're going to call him up. Okay, let's do some news.
Who can't play guitar.
Are we?
So I don't want to do news.
I'm saving the big one for last, so here you go.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
No, actually, she didn't say that.
First,
that's what she wanted to hear.
This was just an interesting factoid.
All right, let's factoid it up.
The accelerator is officially up and going.
All right,
yes.
On.
Yes. All right. I saw footage.
Did you hear the power output of it? 1.8 trillion volts.
That's like Reap in the bathroom.
1.8 trillion volts.
That's a Reap fact.
I mean, it
we
was
can
for
do
like,
Reap
you know,
facts now.
Demons and angels.
What
so
about?
I saw output from the super collider, the Bern collider.
Yeah.
Antimatter.
Okay.
Yeah, but it lasts for like a 50 billionth of a second.
No, not if you have batteries.
I'm tired.
I'm taking drugs. <going home>. Okay.
Seriously. Okay. Off it was an issue of batteries. It was very pretty and blue.
Off to the pair of stupid news. I got three stories.
Gotcha. I think that's okay.
Okay. United Kingdom. A ghost hunter believes that her body was taken over by an evil spirit during an investigation at a famous haunted building.
Why is it
we were all about to start on some table-tipping spirit communication when suddenly Belinda turned her face towards me, but it was not her anymore. She just looked evil and full of hatred.
She had a bacon snickerdoodle.
Well, that would do it to you.
You mean you can hook your bacon snickerdoodle up to, and it's a power source?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can run a clock off one of those suckers.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, this is the good part. Belinda being a natural sensitive, for her alone, it was not enough.
No, it wasn't.
It's never enough.
Okay.
It's
that's
never
why you need
enough.
Your antimatter.
In England,
battery.
This is kind of a cool one. In England, again, the Housing Act of 2004 required homeowners to provide a housing information package to potential buyers. They have just decided that you don't have to disclose that there's a ghost on your property.
No, it's not a material fact.
See, I thought that
well,
you had to...
Well, unfortunately, this covers all household pests, so they don't have to disclose rats or any of that either.
Wow, nice.
So, remember, rats and ghosts are in the same disclosure. Okay, and just as a warning, people, Animal Planet is the latest cable network to offer a weekly series focused on the paranormal. This show, which premiered last Sunday, is called... The Haunted.
The Haunted.
This 10-part series presents true stories of paranormal pet experiences. Yeah.
That sounds like you're farting over there. Like you have a leak.
The tagline, if animals believe, should you?
It should be, shouldn't you?
Yeah, really. But, you know.
Animals believe. We need to put that on the campaign.
Oh, yeah, there we
if
go.
If animals believe.
If
idiots
Peckman,
believe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's our next breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
People.
This is a big one.
No, no, this will make you vomit.
This is a big one.
Get ready
big
to throw
one.
Up a little bit.
This
in your
one
mouth.
Deserves both
that's
of them.
Right.
And.
Wow. Unfortunately, those of us proud enough to have lived in the city of Denver for the past, well, up until now, the Denver. ET Affairs Commission is officially on the ballot. So
on the ballot.
Be prepared. It's going to be a bumpy ride, and we're going to be leading the pack of people going, no.
So we're soliciting for campaign slogans.
For prostitution?
No, you might be soliciting. And actually, that might be the way to bring down their movement, because that's how it brought down the Black Panthers.
I'll work for them.
Good enough for the Black Panthers. It should be good enough for the ET
that's
Commission.
That's true.
So
actually,
right now,
it probably would be like kryptonite.
Right now,
it
I have
be.
Discovered
it could be.
That they are currently looking for ideas of events or things we can do to reach out and educate the community about ET-related issues.
Reap is going to come out and help us against them.
Thank you, Reap.
Thank
we can
you.
Really use the help. We really can. That would be awesome. So, well, okay. So, are we done with the news?
Just help us stop Peckman.
Yeah,
that's all
we've got stuff planned. Believe me, we have got stuff planned. Hey, Nateness, and
wow.
This is going to be pretty cool. Oh, finally, Greg's here. So, hey guys, Greg, we're going to be calling you here shortly, but first...
Don't call him shortly.
Shorty.
How do you know?
I've seen his picture. We're going to be giving you a call here after we listen to a bit of an old interview with James Randi. This was about 2 years ago that we did this interview, and let's listen. And the thing that I think is kind of funny is initially James was, and I don't know if you're going to be
like
able to hear
it. Is that like an initialism?
Yes, I think so. An initialism.
So say the Oxford.
He was just slightly icy with us because of our the word paranormal in our name. But he loosened up quite well. And in fact, his 20-minute talk with us turned into almost over an hour. So
turned into us going, James, we got to go.
Yeah, James, we got to go. We really have to go. He was very, very charming and a lot of fun to talk to. So we're just going to give you a little excerpt from that interview, and then we will be back to call up Greg. So enjoy, everybody.
And wondering how frustrating... Where are you in your mind with dealing with the fact that you blow the whistle on so many of these guys and yet they continue to be out in the public eye like nothing's ever happened?
Well, the story is very simple. It's an economic matter. NBC is looking for ratings. They know that people will tune in to see a train wreck or whatever, and they don't know whether color's going to be a train wreck or not, but they don't care because people will be tuned in. Bottom line is that the sponsors like it, and that means they like it.
Right.
So someone like myself, who is trying to be rational and direct and logical about these things, that's not a very exciting attitude. But someone like Geller, who now appears, it seems, to be changing his mind about presenting himself as a psychic, he now wants to be a mystifier,
right,
which I find a very interesting approach to the thing. Someone like Geller will always make news the same way Britney Spears will always make news.
She's a
pretty useless individual, but whatever she does, whether it's good or bad, it's the first item on the Today Show every morning.
Right.
I always deny the title of debunker. A debunker, to me, implies, just by the word itself, that I look at something and say, this is not so, and I'm going to prove to you it's not so. I don't do that. What I do is I look at a situation and say, I don't know what's happening here. I think I'll find out. Now, it usually ends up being debunking, but that's not the initial purpose of it. If you go into an investigation saying from the beginning that you're going to prove something to be unreal or untrue, that's not the scientific attitude. The
exactly.
scientist's attitude should be, I don't know, I'll find out.
Right. And that is exactly how we approach it. We try to use the scientific method as much as possible in a field where we have no tools to actually be able to investigate properly. You know, we're using things like EMF detectors, which are used for other things other than ghost hunting.
Yeah,
and
there's
you know,
just no such thing as a ghost finding tool.
Yeah, there's no ghost finding tools. So It is an odd thing to be involved in, and we question why we do it every day. But I have heard you say on occasion that you would love to find proof of the paranormal.
No, I've never said that. People are always quoting me as having said that.
Well, I won't say quote.
All I want to know is what the truth is. I'm trying to be a person with a scientific attitude, though I am not formally a scientist. I try to be scientific.
Right.
And the scientist doesn't say, oh, I want result A. I'm going to do some research that will determine result A when it could be B. What the scientist should be doing, and the scientific person with a scientific approach to things should be saying, it might be A, it might be B, or it might even be C that I've never heard of and I've never brought into consideration. So I'm willing to be shown. Let's find out what it is.
Right, right. Yeah, and again, that's exactly the way we try to look at it. You know, we admit that, it would be great if we could find some sort of evidence of the supernatural in some sense, but we don't go in with that with that intent.
And we're the first ones to claim that we've never found it,
too. We've found things that we can't explain, but we've never found anything supernatural.
Well, maybe not that you can't explain, things for which you don't have presently an explanation.
Exactly.
I didn't know what made Sophia Loren work. I still don't know, but that doesn't mean that it's supernatural.
Exactly.
You can't look that good at that age, and that's not au volet.
This is true.
That's very true. Now, we've had a lot of people asking us to ask you about specific things and that are going on in this paranormal field, so to speak. And I kind of feel that you're not so much of the type of person anymore that goes chasing things down as much as you do waiting for them to come to you in terms of, like, claiming the $1 million prize and things like that.
They know it's out there. If they say that they don't know it's out there, then they're very, very poorly informed about the real world.
Right.
They know that it's out there. It's known by millions of people. It's been out there for many, many years now, and they talk about it all the time, but they just want to ignore it. Now, I'm sitting in my home at the moment, as you know, and I don't find some people downstairs hammering on the door. I don't know why. Wouldn't you think they'd be lined up like a mob scene and a Bride of Frankenstein with the torches and the scythe?
You would think.
You'd think so, because $1 million is a big carrot. Now, not most of them, but a great percentage of them will say, oh, there's no $1 million, that's just a myth. Well, $1 million does exist, and those that have looked into it at all can find the evidence of the account number, the whole thing, affidavits from Goldman Sachs, and it's in an account which is called the James Randi Educational Foundation Prize Account. So it's set aside specifically for that reason. But there are still people out there who are saying, oh, no, there never has been $1 million. No, that's totally farcical. And then the group that says, he changes the rules at the last minute. I can't change the rules at the last minute, because if you look at the website and you see what the rules are, they cannot be changed by either party. They are something that everyone has to adhere to. I do, and the opposition has to do it as well. So all these excuses, and I could go through 30 of them here in a row, the FAQs, as they say,
right,
are just without any merit whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, and we've been following you for a long time and reading a lot of the things on the website that people have attempted and the excuses people come up with, and it is absolutely remarkable that people think that they're fooling anybody.
Well, I don't know that they think they're fooling anybody. Remember, they're a little desperate. The $1 million carrot that I keep waving in front of them on a stick is something they can't avoid knowing about, they can't avoid discussing it when asked, and they can't come up with any reasonable answers for it. It is the greatest annoyance that most of them have. Now, Sylvia Brown agreed on the Larry King show, the Larry King Live show, I should say,
right,
which is broadcast all over the world, internationally. Every major hotel in the world carries CNN, and that includes the Larry King show, of course. Now, she agreed on that show, was it 8 years ago or something? Now, I've forgotten how many years has gone by.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. She agreed to do it, and then when people asked her, well, why haven't you done it? She said, oh, I don't know how to reach James Randi. But wait a minute. She talks to the dead, and I'm alive, and I'm in the phone book. Now, the crystal ball may be cloudy, the tarot cards may be missing part of the deck or whatever, I don't know, but the phone book is something that most people learn how to use pretty early on, Sylvia,
right,
and or information. 411, you can call and you can get information, right?
Well, you know,
but she didn't know how to reach me.
Right. Obviously enough, we've been able to get a hold of you, so
yeah, if we can reach you.
Difficult.
Well, I don't know how you managed that. If Sylvia Brown, the greatest psychic in the world, hasn't got the means to reach me, I don't know how you did it. Maybe it's just luck. I'm assuming it's just plain luck.
The other excuse that
she made, it's even funnier. When I sent her the registered letter, the poor dear didn't know that it was for me, so she signed for it. And inside I had the name and address of my brother and my sister in Canada, of all of my close friends, of my manager, my business address, the whole thing. I had every way that she could possibly reach me through email, telepathy, whatever she wanted to use. And she did receive that. Then the excuse was, not that she didn't know how to reach me, but she didn't want to reach me because I'm not a godly person. Wouldn't that be all the more reason to take the $1 million away from this godless person?
Exactly.
Wouldn't you think so? But Sylvia doesn't see it that way.
Oh, I was wondering if you have any advice for us. We're in a situation where there's this individual by the name of Chris Moon, and I don't know if he's been mentioned to you, but he has this.
I know that name.
Yeah, he's got this wonderful device called the Telephone to the Dead.
It was originally called Frank's Box.
But before that, it was the Spiritcom.
That's true.
And it's basically the radio that scans across the frequencies, and then this amazing feat of picking out, you know, conversations with the dead out of regular radio transmissions.
And every cell phone transmission,
exactly.
And every taxi radio, and every police call, and
exactly.
A few things like that, and weather reports, and other things, yes.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, he's becoming extremely big in the field that we're in, and we have the double-sided problem of he lives in our backyard practically too, so it's become a really big thorn.
Yeah, I mean, and from watching you, it almost seems like there is no real way to shut these people up other than just letting them, you know, stab themselves,
well,
shoot themselves in the foot.
I really let them destroy themselves. And Sylvia, the more Sylvia talks, the less people believe her. I mean, she
it's
just
true.
Runs on and on and on. She gets herself into all kinds of messes that she can't get out of. She jumps at the flypaper and finds that it's sticking to her. Oh, Sylvia, I could have told you that, you know? And these people, I think, will essentially do the same kind of thing. Unfortunately, it takes a while for the flypaper to work.
Right. Yeah, and then who's the psychic then, huh?
Yes.
So there we are. That was the interview with James Randi. That was just a piece of it from some time ago, actually. And he was a lot of fun to talk to. He really was. He was very cool. Brian is actually wandering around, I think, talking on the phone at the moment. We always get our phone calls in the middle of the show, and today is no different, obviously. But anyway, I think we'll probably go ahead and give Greg a call. What do you think?
All right, let's call Greg.
How's the chat room doing? Is everybody getting along at the moment?
They're getting along. They've been giving me great ideas for the campaign. They are all being very peaceful and lovey-dovey.
I am highly impressed. I
because
thought there was going to be no way that.
We have a unifying enemy.
We do. We have Peckman.
And it is the E.T. Commission.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know if that really
somebody
works.
Somebody has their mirror talking to them, and they need Chris Moon to interpret.
Oh, ow. Yeah, that's a little strange.
Well, when we tell him about those people copying him.
Yeah.
Up in Chicago.
So any those need to be repeated for our listening audience?
Well, I think there's a ton of good stuff in there.
Let me see. I am getting the phone ready here to call, so you have to give me just a moment.
Well, one, we've decided we will always misspell Pickman's name. And I'm working on mispronouncing it every time I say Pickman. Or Preckman.
Okay, so you can say that again.
Preckman? So we're going to have trouble with his name. It's just going to be too difficult for us to handle.
I don't doubt it.
So in all of our copy, whenever we write letters or anything, we're just all going to have trouble with his name.
That's easy enough.
So, yeah, I think that's a good one. We've got some great sayings in here about, E.T. If you vote yes on the E.T. Commission, the terrorists win.
Nice.
And I think that's a good one.
Let's see. Since I had to re-put everything back together here, I want to make sure that I'm... Do.
E.T. Commission, you don't want to believe.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, what was the E.T.N.O.?
Yeah,
E.T.N.O.
Like that's a good one, too.
We can count on Rick.
And then I like, if, with a name like Peckman, but that's not how they said it, with a name like Peckerman, he can't be right.
You know, when we...
When E.T. Commission, no es bueno.
Nice. When we every time we do like televised interviews or anything like that, or radio interviews, we should just accidentally mispronounce his name. But yes. I mean, like, wildly mispronounce it.
You mean Vekerman?
Yeah, I mean, just whatever. Vekerman? Just.
I mean, how are we going to... It has to always end in man, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just... Chevy Chase it to hell, because he's good at that. I think that would be good. Oh, and speaking of which, see, Brian walked away, because I think there was a... Dan Aykroyd was going to be here doing some sort of appearance. And, yeah, Brian was actually going to try to get his Crystal Head vodka thing signed by him. Nobody is quite as crazy as Dan Aykroyd, that's for sure. But well, let's go ahead and see if we can get a hold of Greg here.
Yes, we'll try to get Greg.
See what happens.
I don't know how to spell Aykroyd.
I think it's A-K.
Why?
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
Son of a bitch. This is not a good way to start.
But don't we always have trouble with...
with his number?
Yes.
It seems like it.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
But she's clearer this time.
Please check the number and dial again.
That's because you didn't pay attention the first time. So she has to tell you again.
Let's see, she'll tell me
like
the third
GPS.
Time. Why couldn't it be completed as dialed? It's his.
Because obviously you must be dialing like a peckerman.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
And she sounds even
please
more irritated.
Please check the number and dial
okay,
again.
Was 0433.
Oh, son of a bitch. We totally missed it.
You guys totally missed it. Crystal Head right. Vodka signing with Dan Aykroyd in Philadelphia.
Oh, that,
you guys missed
that
it.
That blows. Hey, Greg, you can call me if you want.
Yeah, Greg, please call him. Because apparently he cannot reach the number the way he dials.
We have trouble with your number for some reason. I don't know what the deal is. But,
if you, yeah, and
you might want to click
Dan
back
Aykroyd.
So you can see what they're saying in the chat.
What about
because he may,
right
you know, he might want to say something to you about it. So.
He won't say anything to me. He don't know.
Don't
me.
Be a peckerman. Well, thanks.
Yeah, don't be a peckerman.
You know, that right there is a good...
That's a good saying.
That's a good slogan.
That's a good slogan. I agree. That's right. You don't want to be no peckerman.
Stay in school and don't smoke.
That's right. Don't be no peckerman.
Don't be a peckerman.
Well, you know, you have to take it to my neighborhood, so you got to put don't be no.
Don't be no, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that'll reach the kids, I think.
Yes. Now we'll have to get advice to speak to our Spanish brethren.
Uh-huh.
How would we
on
say
how
that
we
in
would
Spanish.
Do that? Uh-huh. Right, right.
Yeah.
What would be the proper
yeah.
way to hit that demographic? We got our work cut out for us, I think.
Okay, yeah. Ad hominem attacks, no. Fine. It's just fine. Okay, fine. I knew what you meant, even though you didn't know how to spell it. Where is your Oxford?
Come on, Rick.
Where is your Oxford, honey?
Oh, for the love of God.
I know. Oh, we have to group hug again. I like that. So every time we get out of hand...
Oh, yeah, can you do a private thing to Greg with my number?
Okay.
So he can...
You'd be taxing me with this technology thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, that's right. I do this.
Yeah, just get in there and you can private message him.
Okay.
Okay.
Hopefully this is the right guy. You want me private chat?
Yeah, that's
private
fine.
Private chat.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so it's 720. I don't know if you know, but
recently somebody else has
pointed out a lot of holes in the story.
435. It's going to go out.
All right. It's not like everybody doesn't have my number anyway.
I'll put the dashes in.
Okay, I appreciate
that. For clarity.
So then he can just call me, and then that way we'll talk when he calls.
Lord love a duck. Why are you letting me drive your weird thing?
I don't know. You are having all kinds of problems there.
It's
the delete key's right there, in case you're wondering.
Oh, it did it.
I don't know what you expected it to do. Now you got a 5 with her shit. What in the name of God?
This is your thing. Okay.
No. Jesus.
Okay, fix it.
All right. This is crazy. Where's the Harry?
Okay. Okay, we're done.
No, don't not now. We're done.
Oh, when did that happen?
I don't know, but do
okay,
you managed
well,
to.
Right.
This has got to be friggin' riveting radio, though.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you even let me drive.
I apologize.
I am a master at programs, not OS stuff.
See, you're the only one watching the chat room right now.
Oh.
Because
hello.
Because Brian is screwing.
Hello.
Oh,
okay.
What the hell? My phone's ringing. Wonder what that's
Ooh,
all about.
That's cool.
Yellow.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hey. You made it.
I think my phone's possessed. I don't know.
We don't know either. We think it's just Baxter.
It could be me.
I don't. Every single time you guys have tried to call me, it yeah. never worked. Even,
it's only
even
been Baxter
months
trying
and months
to call
ago.
I should have had Notor try to call you.
Yeah, like I was giving you the phone number.
Yeah, because maybe that's the problem. Well, yeah, you Notor's no better than I am. Never mind.
I am.
Well, we'll really know if there's gremlins in the system if the server goes out again this week.
Ooh, that's true. That was really freaky last week.
Then we can start asking some serious questions.
But until then, all
until
our
then, no serious questions.
Oh,
he probably just doesn't want to admit he blocked your number.
That could be. That could be. So we saw that there's a new issue of Who Forded Out today.
Finally, yes.
And
I got off my desk.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
We did a completely like ghost and ghost hunting centered update this week. It's the first one we've done that's been pretty much completely based around ghosts and ghost hunting. It's the first one in a while that's been like that. And it will be the first one for a while that will be like that, because I think we're going to stop paying so much attention to ghost hunting and just the topic itself. There's enough on it right now
uh-huh.
that what else can you really say, you know? So,
well, where do you see yourselves going?
I, you know, one of the reasons that we wanted to start doing Who Forded was because we're all very interested in all things weird, all things strange. So we really want to kind of go in that sort of direction and stop being so, you know, ghost-centric, really.
Right.
Because there's so many weird things that are going on there, and even more importantly, there's so many weird people that follow those weird things.
Right.
So, you know, we've got some
Servers
really
going
cool
down.
Articles coming up about, like, Champ, you know, and,
oh, yeah.
Something about psychics. There's even something about rumpology, reading
nice.
People's futures from pictures of their ass.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
It's
that's
not as good as if you read it with actual hands-on, I can tell you that much.
Well, and it's true, they do both. They do both. They have the actual hands-on versions. Actually, you're not supposed to actually touch them.
Oh, that is so bizarre.
But,
that's not the way they practice my neighborhood.
We should just do a video. We'll just go and get it done.
A training video.
Well, you know, it's a good idea. If you have, you, do you know? Have you ever seen the British show High Spirits with Shirley Ghostman?
Oh, you know what? I had not seen it, but Chasing Midnight. Tony Hart Wilden actually turned me on to it, and it's hysterical.
It is. It is. Absolutely. But there is one of the characters that Mark Wooten plays, other than Shirley Ghostman, is this sort of paranormal intern that has to go out and learn these new things. And he actually went to a place where they did this ass reading. And of course, the lady didn't know it was a big joke. You know, she's trying to teach him how to do this. That was one of the best scenes I've ever seen. It was hilarious. So if you can find that, it's worth the patience looking for it on YouTube, probably, because it's really funny.
I'm going to now, definitely.
It is funny, because he's like poking this old lady's ass and everything, trying to figure out how to read it, and the lady's trying to stop him from actually touching her ass. And
see, that kind of stuff is hilarious. Like, I think that's the sort of direction we really want to head in, is just all things weird, all things strange, you know, and I think part of it, too, is, you know, the ghost hunting community is so easy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so easy, and it's so overdone. And I know that most of us are just tired of it. You know, you can only say Chip Coffee's a douchebag so many times before you get tired of saying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's some things are just... It just gets exhausting after a while, because the only people that are hearing you anymore is the choir. And
yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
And
that's
it's
exactly
it.
And a lot of it too is, you know, I've found that a lot of the time, you know, the people that you're going to convince, you know, the first or the second or the third go around, and the rest of them are pretty much the only convincing they're going to have is their own convincing.
Exactly. They have to either come to the light on their own by either getting screwed over or,
absolutely,
you know, something like that. And, you know, and that's just the way it is. I mean, all you can do is just disseminate the information and let them make their own decisions,
yeah.
I guess.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the great things is we've got a lot of different people trying to do that in so many different ways that, you know, when people need to come looking, you know, we'll have the information here for them. They'll find it one way
exactly.
or another.
Exactly. And as long as you make it available, the people who are supposed to find it and will actually learn from it will find it and will learn from it. And, you know, you can't do anything more than that. But, you know, and that information's there. And, you know, it's just gotten to the point where it's not as much fun anymore to do that. And, you know, so we kind of want to have some fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, I think that's kind of how, I don't know, like when we started this radio show, for example, we were really determined that we were going to try to make a difference in everything, and I mean, we actually put some effort into, you know, advertising and all kinds of different stuff, and I have to say now, the only reason we continue to do this show, which most shows like us have fallen by the wayside, and people have gotten bored and don't feel like doing them anymore. The only reason we continue this is because we keep interviewing people we like, we keep talking about things that we like, and we really don't give a big crap about the real big issues, I guess you would say. Or
well, and you know, and that's good too, because, you know, we've never really made any bones about the fact that, you know, everything we've ever done has pretty much just been because it's fun. And that's what we enjoy doing.
Right.
You know, we never really set out, and I can be honest, we never really set out to make any kind of a difference. You know, if anybody, you know, did or did not agree with anything we've had to say, well, you know, that's just, you know, that's fine. That's a bonus. But, you know, we do what we do, and we have always done what we've done just because it's fun, you know?
Right.
I think we've done one time, we did one home investigation a long time ago, and that never happened again. We looked at each other when we got in the car, and we were just like, let's never do this again.
How long ago was that?
Oh, God, that was so many years ago. We were still probably in high school at that point. And, you know, we believed a lot of different things back then, too.
Right.
You know, we've definitely changed quite a bit since then.
Right.
But, that was a horrible, horrible experience.
Yeah, and really, that's where most of your horrible experiences are going to come from, are those private residences.
Oh, it was absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. No fun. And just a completely awkward experience. Because, you know, that was enough to show me, at least, that most of these people that call ghost hunters or paranormal investigators or whatever other, you know, pseudonym you want to give them, the only reason they call them into their homes is it's not because they want to hear that they don't have a ghost. It's because they really want to hear that they do.
Right.
You know, exactly. That's the people that seek those types of people out are, I think, you know, 95% of the time they just want to be told they have a ghost because they think it's cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they think it's cool. They want you know, their own bias confirmed. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's really the rough part. And the thing is businesses are the same way because they want the business. You know, they want to have the reputation. And,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, especially now, what a marketing gimmick to say that your place is haunted.
Yes.
You know, or that Taps confirmed your place haunted or so-and-so confirmed it's haunted. What a gimmick. You can throw all kinds of, you know, events there and people will buy them up. So people pay $250 for a ticket as long as there's a celebrity there. So.
Oh, right. Right.
If you vote yes on the ET Commission, there's no more hauntings.
Oh, if you vote yes on the ET Commission, they're doing away with hauntings.
Yes.
That's excellent.
Well, threaten their economic livelihoods.
That's a little breaking news there, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the toughest things about, you know, what we do is trying to decide what is an opportunity to actually go investigate and what is going to be a sideshow.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
You can't do both.
You can't do both. You really can't. So, and sometimes we have to do the sideshows just so we can get back into places to do real investigations. So, we fall victim to that as well. But, yeah, I mean, anything that we can do. Like, we were up at the Stanley Hotel a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
And almost our whole reason for going up there was to, I don't know if you saw our little video on Grant's table moving.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of what, you know, you guys obviously like to do that same kind of thing.
Sure.
Is that kind of funny video, we won't call it debunking, we'll call it a little bit more of a demonstration of what could really be happening.
Exactly.
And making them look stupid in the process. Of course, Stanley Hotel's furious with us about it. But
of course they are. You're cutting into their business.
Yeah.
The bottom line.
They are not happy at all. But that's okay, because we think it's pretty damn funny. But one of the other big things is when we were up there, we had countless people coming up wanting to show us. Because, I mean, there were people everywhere up there walking around taking pictures and hoping to get orb pictures. So we had countless people showing us their orb pictures. And so actually it was a great opportunity because we would take them aside. We would give a little quick talk on what those actually are.
And you gave a talking to.
Yes. The night was filled with many lectures, and it went on until almost 4 in the morning. I mean, there were people just were wandering constantly. So it really was a good opportunity to do a lot of education up there, and we only pissed off probably 75% of them. So that 25% actually learned. So
it was funny when people would start coming to the door, they'd knock on the door when we were working, and they'd go, we want to talk to the author. We don't want to talk to the guys.
Yeah, so because we were up there with an author who was writing a book on the Stanley,
and
so they would want to talk to her to tell them their experience they just had, but they didn't want to talk to us after a while because we were going to tell them the truth. So that was quite entertaining.
Well, you know, if you only pissed off 75%, that's not too bad, because if that means that 25% of them walked away, you know, thinking differently about the situation, well, you know, that's
exactly. Exactly.
Well, that happened at the mansion.
We did this Grant Humphrey's mansion over the weekend here in Denver, and paranormal groups don't get in there because it costs like $5,000 for a few hours to rent the place. So we got lucky enough to get, actually, we were part of an auction. We got sold in an auction that people wanted to do a ghost hunt with. So we got to educate them all night, and by 10 o'clock, they were gone. They left. So.
Well, there was the couple, though. That stayed. You're 25%.
Right. They stayed a little
actually
later.
Actually had a different appreciation for ghosts.
Yes. They had a little different thoughts by the time it was over. But So how are you guys going to approach these other subjects? Well, I mean, are you going to do investigations? Or are you just going to cover them as they come up as news? Or how are you going to do this?
Well, you know, one of the areas that we, you know, one of the directions we'd really like to go is we really like to go with more video. We really like to go in the direction of a video format. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I think we're really inspired by. People like Louis Theroux, you know, John Safran. They're, again, British television. Well, one of them, John Safran's Australian television, but they do a lot of these really interesting mini documentaries on different subcultures and different religions and weird, you know, just general weirdness. And that's sort of the direction we'd like to go. You know, definitely, you know, keeping an irreverent approach to everything.
Right.
But, so you guys will be knocking at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Sorry.
Houses.
Oh, yeah, exactly. John Safran. Yes, the Mormon dormer knocking guy.
Yeah.
If you ever had a chance to track down that entire show, John Safran versus God, it is fantastic. Absolutely love it.
Love it.
And and things like that. You know, people like that, I think, are definitely like a huge inspiration for the types of things that we'd like to do. And we definitely want to keep a very irreverent approach to everything that we do. And I wouldn't really call. I don't think we really want to go on investigations, so to speak, because, I mean, at this point, I think that I at least myself, am more interested in the stories surrounding people that base their lives on chasing mythical monsters and mythical beasts and things that, you know, for all intents and purposes, don't exist. you know, or just strange subcultures and strange things like that. I really enjoy that type of thing, and I think that the most of us really enjoy that type of thing as well.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the direction that we'd like to go, is just focusing on these things, not so much in an investigative sense, but maybe more of a journalistic sense. You know, very, very tongue-in-cheek, sure, but journalistic maybe nonetheless.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a great idea. I mean, we can't have too much of that. You know, it just, we can't. And I think
the thing with a lot of paranormal media right now, and it's you either get it from two sides. It's either you have the hardline skeptics who, you know, are really in a lot of ways a complete parallel to the people who will believe absolutely anything. You know, who will believe anything that's shown to them on TV. You know, these where everything that's presented to you is absolute positive proof of the afterlife, even though it's not.
Right.
You know, you've got this strange parallel. I know that we talked a little about that last week.
Right.
But again, the whole reason that we got started, any of us got started, is because it was fun. And I think that there's definitely something to be said to go out and do things like this and not take it too seriously in either aspect, but to kind of do it with like a wink and a smile, because everybody sort of knows what's going on.
Right.
But again, the problem is a lot of the stuff on these shows, the burden of proof is on the investigators themselves, and that creates problems down the line.
Right.
Because, you know, they're forced to come up with something to make it entertaining. But I personally don't believe that, you know, any sort of evidence can make it any less entertaining than it would be if you were focusing on the people that base their lives around this sort of thing, or the subcultures themselves, or the things that go on inside of them. That's what's fascinating to me, are the stories.
Right. Right.
So
now, the next thing that I wanted to bring up, I was kind of hoping that Brian would be off the phone by now, but he's actually talking to that author that we were just referring to, I believe.
And, okay.
So he's indisposed at the moment. But I wanted to bring up, a lot of us on the outside do not exactly know all of the details of what happened between you and Reap and the Ghost Divas and that whole thing. And where's that sitting? What's going on? What are, you know, is there any way that we can be a mediator to smooth things over? I mean, because we're kind of sitting here going, wow, you know.
And to be honest, I'm kind of scratching my head too, because mm-hmm. I think that a lot of it might just be miscommunication or lack of communication.
Right.
Because I really don't know how it turned into such an ordeal. Basically, you know, what had happened, it just started at the beginning, is, and I have talked to the Ghost Divas about this since then.
Uh-huh.
They had Donna LaCroix on their show.
Right.
And I'm sure anyone has heard about this by now.
Oh, yeah.
And Donna LaCroix, you know, basically just talked about how hurt she was because she wasn't paid as much as she wanted to on Ghost Hunters International, while in the same breath talking about how she had a nose job and a boob job with the money she made from Ghost Hunters International, and then to talk about how she almost went bankrupt. So I don't have really any sympathy there, but
right.
the fact of the matter is, she went on to say that she knew that there was faking going on when it came to tampering with like evidence and things like that on Ghost Hunters International, and then, you know, she went on to say, well, you know, FTAPs, you know, Jason and Grant, they treated people like crap, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that wasn't what I had a problem with, because
right.
I expected her to say things like that, and I sort
right.
of expected that from her, because
right.
she'd been out of the spotlight for a while. What I didn't expect was for everyone to suddenly embrace her afterwards.
Right.
And everyone had her back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and it's worth noting that a week later, she retracted all of her statements and completely withdrew from anything and won't touch it again.
Right.
So I kind of had a problem with that, because I was kind of like, what just happened? What just happened here? Because the Ghost Divas show has had a reputation of being a show where they would basically call bullshit on anyone that deserved bullshit being called.
Uh-huh.
And so when everyone automatically embraced her as soon as she said, you know, screw taps, they did this, they did that, especially if she's contradicted herself the entire episode, I really didn't know what to think about it, and I voiced my opinion. And my opinion was basically disappointment and some irritation. So that was over. That episode was over. Then I heard Keith H. was going to be on Reap's show.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, I showed up because I was really interested to hear. Because, again, Reap, somebody that has a reputation of calling bullshit where there's bullshit.
Right.
But instead, what I heard was a disclaimer at the beginning of the show that said this show was going to be drama-free.
Right.
And I really thought that was out of the ordinary, especially for Reap's show.
Right.
So, again, I kind of asked, what's the deal with this? And, you know, it basically turned into everyone having this, you know, buddy-buddy hour of programming with Keith H. So, again, I just voiced my opinion, disappointment, and a little bit of irritation. And the reason is because a lot of these people consider themselves mouthpieces for the paranormal community and a counterculture movement that's going on in the paranormal community. And my irritation and disappointment with this is I feel like there's being favorites played.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my opinion, obviously. And you know, Reap's show is his show, the Ghost Eater show is their show, and they're entitled to do whatever they want to with it. That's none of my business, really.
Right.
But I just feel that, you know, anyone who considers themselves a mouthpiece for a sort of movement, people actually listen and care about the things that they say. It just makes me feel like the integrity of everything that you have to say is compromised when you don't stick to your guns. You know, and I just felt like you can't criticize people like Chris Moon like crazy. You know, Chris Moon, Ryan Buell, whoever. And then next week have a power round hour with Donald LaCroix or Keith H. I just feel like that doesn't make much sense. And I think that it sends a very conflicting message to the people that you're talking to. So I never really intended to start any huge argument or any huge fights.
Right.
And I never intended to pick on anybody or to call anybody out, so to speak. Because, like I said, I thought highly of these people and these people, regardless of whether, you know, we agreed on things or didn't agree on things, for the most part, we're kind of part of the same, I guess, movement, you could call it.
Right, right.
And so that's kind of why I was disappointed to see what looks like favorites being played. So that's really where I was at. But I don't know if, you know, I've heard so many different things, and I feel like words have been put in our mouths, things that we didn't say, and really that's the bottom line. It was just some disappointment and slight irritation
right.
at what was going on.
Well, you know, and hopefully at this point, you've had an opportunity to see that, like with Reap, I don't think he really considers himself a mouthpiece. He considers himself a big mouth. he doesn't really consider himself a mouthpiece. He likes to talk about what he likes to talk about, but, I had a chance to talk to Reap, right at the end of the show, basically, and of course he was fired up and everything, because like you and I had talked about last week, that chat room chatter comes across as much more aggressive than maybe it should. And as soon as you start feeling it back, then it escalates and escalates, and everybody's really really ripped apart by then. But Reap actually had a kind of a plan with Keith H., and it's working really well. And I can't tell you, I can't talk about it yet, because he's got another step coming to this whole thing, which is pretty brilliant. Oh, Brian's back. I got to turn his mic on here.
I was trying to talk, and I'm dead.
So Brian's finally back.
I've been busy.
But, Reap really did have kind of a good plan and everything, but the bottom line is regardless of Reap's plan, it really was a matter of it, you know, just like you said, it's his show. If his experience with Keith was different than the rest of ours, sure. That's a matter of perspective, and truth is often affected by perspective. So you know, who are we to say type thing?
And that's exactly it. And that's why I definitely went out of my way several times, more than once, mm-hmm. to say that, you know, I wasn't picking on anybody, and this was an opinion of mine,
right.
of my own, to, you know, because I didn't want anyone to take too much offense to it, and just to know that this opinion is out there.
Right.
And again, you know, the thing with the whole plan, I don't know how any of us were supposed to know of that plan. So I think that, you know, the reaction should have kind of been expected, I guess. Because,
right.
you know, if it is a secret plan, you're going to have people that are going to be like, what the fuck is going on here? Because this seems really out of the ordinary, really bizarre.
Right.
You know, and again, that's not information I had... I hadn't been told.
Right, right. And as you can understand, it's not exactly information that you could have been effectively told.
Exactly.
But the thing is as I'm looking at this, I don't know Matt. But I can say that for both myself and Reap, we are prime candidates for reverse psychology. If you come, and I have a feeling you might be this way too, but Matt, I'm not exactly sure what motivates him, and I know that he doesn't want you to speak for him either, but the thing is with both Reap and I, if you were to come at us and say, hey, I wanted you to do this way, what are you, dumb? We're going to absolutely go the other direction just because you said so. We are both prime candidates for reverse psychology, and it's quite embarrassing to admit it, but it's true. I've always had a big problem with authority, and anytime anybody tries to act authoritative with me, I will resist.
Oh, absolutely, and I can completely relate to that. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, and I know that that's a part of what was going on, too, is the more you guys were complaining, the more he was like, fuck you, you know, and it turned into this big, huge thing. So, with all this in mind, and you guys may have been having a little bit of the same reaction back and forth, and I think it escalated in a weird way.
Yeah,
not speaking for Matt, because you can't do that, is, you know, at this point, is there anything that you would say to Reap if you, you know, were able to be face to face with him? Because I know that there's so much of this.
Well, you know, the thing is we actually attempted to talk to Reap last evening.
Uh-huh.
Because as you might know, Matt is a host of Paranormal Interest Radio.
Oh, Matt is saying that you can speak for him now. So Matt, you know, last week you were saying that you didn't want him to, so that's why I was saying that. So anyway,
Anyway, on the show that Matt and I are part of, we, you know, Reed popped into the chat room, and you know, we're very civil, and we just said, hey, you know what, this is what's happened with Reed, and we flat out said, no problem with Reed at all. You know, this is an opinion. It feels like we had questions that we didn't get answered. And, again, there might have been some of that, you know, sort of a push backwards because of the reverse psychology thing or whatever.
Right, right.
But it eventually ended up that Reed called into the show. And we attempted, I thought, to have a very civil conversation with Reed. But it basically ended with, no one could get a word in edgewise, and every time we tried to say something, there was just a lot of yelling over top of everybody, and it just ended with him ended up being hung up on, because no one could get a word in edgewise. So I don't know, it seems like there's a lot of hostility that's coming out of left field. I don't know where it's coming from, because it was never intended to be that way. It was simply an observation and an opinion on, you know, the way that things were being dealt with. And again, like I said, we had no idea that there was this big grand plan. You know, I don't think,
right.
you know, had we known that there was a grand plan, we might not have stated our opinion so obviously about this.
I will say one thing, and that's Reap is saying in the chat room that he talks really fast, and he does. I had that argue, you know, I said that we had a heated conversation that night. I don't know how heated it actually was, because Reap was talking fast with me, and which...
Well, and that's what I said. I said that, you know, Reap definitely talks the exact same way that he types,
right?
Which is, you know, all capital letters.
Exactly. And I fully admit, and Reap can back me up on this, that I hung up on him that night. And
my problem is that as soon as any of that happened, instead of explaining any of this, you know, Reap kind of goes off and posts everywhere that we're a bunch of pussies and spineless twits who cry when people don't agree with us. And I really would hope that most people would disagree, and I would really hope that our record would speak for us when it comes to that, because I really think that everything was getting blown out of proportion, because, like I said, I never intended to fight with anyone. I never was telling anyone, hey, let's, you know, meet up and fight. You know, I really think that's completely unnecessary, because I've always thought that these people were kind of, I guess, to just put it in black and white, on the same side as us. You know, that we were all kind of on the same page when
right.
it came to this sort of thing.
Right.
So, you know, it really just came from confusion about what was going on. And I, at least myself, never intended it to be anything more than, you know, just asking the question, you know, if we have people that listen to us, if we are so blessed to have people that actually think that anything that any of us have to say is worth listening to, I think that that gives us some sort of responsibility. And that's really what it boiled down to, and I think that it just kind of got a little out of control.
Yeah, and I think so, too. I mean, and with, you know, even the little tiny bit that I got into it, it was really easy to blow out of control.
Well, and that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And again, doing this kind of argument in a chat room doesn't help at all.
No, exactly.
Because, you know, emotions and things like that don't translate very well into text. And it's very easy to misconstrue, you know, sarcasm and things like that when it comes to text.
Well, I want to bring something up right now. I mean, one of the things I'm seeing in the chat room is that Reap and Polly are both talking about how now a lot of this is sugar-coated, and I'm going to say that that's a good thing.
The
fact that, well, I like the fact, well, because, you know, like we're talking with text, of course, all this was a lot more aggressive previously, but the thing is I like the fact that right now you're, you know, trying to make light of this and playing it down because of the fact that it sounds to me like you would like for this to come to an end and for everybody to be able to get along again.
To be totally honest, I think that it's an entire waste of time.
I
really think that we all have better things that we could be doing than discussing a bullshit argument, you know, that we had over something that ultimately does not really matter. You know, opinions were stated.
Yeah,
some people got, you know, pissed off about it, you know, and then it ends up with both parties being pissed off. But really, it doesn't really matter that much in the long run.
Right.
Because it's a pointless argument. It's a pointless argument, and I really don't think that there's a winner and a loser to this argument.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right. And as I'm watching the chat room, I'm seeing this really fun ebb and flow of everybody being kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, and then all of a sudden another remark will come out, and then for a second it'll get heated, then everything will mellow out again, and it's really
and again,
pretty funny at this point.
I can't say this enough. It was never meant, nothing I ever said was meant as an insult to anyone else. I only thought that people should just ask themselves this question about having people listening to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, these people have radio shows. I'm involved in a radio show. You know, I'm involved in Who Forwarded. These are mouthpieces. Regardless of whether one person has 10 people listening to them or another person has 100, you still are a mouthpiece, because there are people that show up every time and pay attention to what you say.
Let me ask you a question here.
Sure.
Okay, with me, if I had to have a text conversation with myself, I would want to kick my ass. Do you feel that same way about you? Because I know for a fact Reap would want to strangle the fuck out of himself in no time. Because
I, you know, I think that more than anything, I might have the tendency to come across as condescending.
Uh-huh.
Not something that I mean to do most of the time. Sometimes, of course, I do, you know, because I can be an epic shit disturber. And I enjoy that sometimes. And I think a lot of us really get into that.
This is our strength, I think. This is all of our strength. Yeah. I think we're all kind of working on the same thing. So with this in mind, we'll see if we can get Reap's buy-in here, too. Can we call this, at this point, a debt issue, regardless of what was said, can we let it be water under the bridge?
I would love nothing more than for it to be a debt issue, because as you can tell, I just think it's a waste of time.
Let's go pick up something that deserves it.
There's far more interesting things to be discussed, you know, and at this point, you know, not even this, but it's just, again, it's the same reason that we're trying to do something different with Who Forwarded.
Right.
Because a lot of the same thing with the celebrities. It's a dead issue. These are things where we could be out actually doing something that's interesting that people, you know, want to pay attention to, instead of just arguing and bickering with things, you know, with people, you know, that are never going to see.
So, wait a minute, Greg, I'm seeing here that you love the penis.
Yes, okay. I love it.
I just wanted to confirm that. So, because, yeah, we better not get you, me, and Reap in the same room, obviously.
Because there'd be too much penis loving going on.
I know. The last time Reap and I were in the same room, it didn't turn out to be a pleasant thing for others to watch.
But it made it to YouTube.
It did make it to YouTube. That's true. I do want to say to Matt that I really appreciate... because last week it didn't seem like you were the least bit, you know, it just seem, I'm using the word seem, it didn't seem like you were really willing to discuss this too much. And I'm really impressed that this week you have seemed like you got a much more open mind and things seem to be cool. And thank you for the... just, you know, yeah, the way the chat room is going right now, I do really appreciate the way all you guys are doing this. So it's much appreciated. And I don't mean to be in here with the fucking flowers and all that kind of stuff, but
take off the priest coat.
Well, it's like I said, you know, earlier, I think that a lot of this had to do with miscommunication and some cross wires.
Right. Initially. Yeah.
Initially, sure. And then, of course, you know, things get convoluted and, you know, people get ideas set in their head. But it was never intended to create any sort of big, you know, crazy, insane argument or battle with anybody else. Because, you know, I think that to do the types of things that any of us do, we're all very strong-willed people.
Right.
Obviously. And it's like you said, I think that a lot of us also have problems with authority. And, you know, when you tell someone to do something or you ask them to do something, I think that we're the type of people that don't want to hear something like that, react negatively to something like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, again, it was never intended to be anything more than an opinion and a chance to hopefully make people ask themselves a question about what it means to be a kind of a mouthpiece, you know.
Right.
And that's really it. That's really it, you know.
Yeah. You know, as I was, you know, re-listening to the James Randi interview that we had done before, that was one of the things that was really making me feel like, you know, all of us mavericks on this side, we really are kind of stuck with each other. And, We need to do our best to... I don't want any kind of unity. I do not, because...
Oh, of course not.
We need to have our own techniques, and we need to have our own approaches, but I think we do need to be a little bit of a slight support system, because it just like you were saying, you're sick and tired of the ghost aspect of this and how stupid it is. So every day, we run across a really good reason to quit. And so to have people like you guys, we love Who Forwarded. We love the ridiculousness that Reap exposes for us.
We wish that Who Forwarded would update a little more often.
Yeah, we would like you guys to update a little more often, but I can't
We're working on it.
You know, I'm guilty of it too, so don't feel too bad. But yeah, I just would love... You know, I got an 800 number calling me right now. I'm going to ignore that.
Uh-oh.
Okay, anyway, yeah, we all know. Hey, you haven't paid your bill. So anyway, just, you know, we really do appreciate you guys, and you do make a great support system for us. And that's what we want to see continuing, you know?
Yeah, of course, of course, of course. So,
right, well, enough of my bullshit right now. Anything else that you want to plug before we let you go?
We're going to have a big unconference here in Chicago in March, which I should say something about. And,
oh,
no,
was that the one that we were talking? What is it? Greg, can you hold on for one moment?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, okay. I got some jackass calling me. Yeah, I got some other jackass calling me. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Baxter?
I'm doing good. How are
we're
you?
We're in the middle of a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what,
Baxter?
I just want to say one thing before we go on. I don't want to like talk over you, but damn, you kiss good.
Thanks, Reef.
I knew that was coming.
Thanks, Reef. You want to? Do you want to call me back after
Actually,
I say goodbye to Greg?
I'm calling him back after the show.
Yeah, I'll call you back after. Tell Brian to call me.
Oh, yeah, he will. He's going to.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. We'll talk to you shortly.
Brian, team.
Bye. All right. Reep just wanted to call. Reep wanted to call and tell me I'm a good kisser, so.
Okay.
And you
I did want to hear it, yeah. My nipples get hard every time. Anyway, the third nipple does. Tell us more about this Chicago thing in March now. What the hell's going on?
We're going to have something. We don't have an exact date nailed down yet, but we're having Fort Fest in Chicago in March.
Ah.
And it's basically an excuse to get a bunch of cool people together without any pretense. We don't want to have any, you know, celebrity speakers. We don't want to have any vendors. There's no admission charge. Bring your own beer, that sort of deal. Just hang out. You know, everybody who has something they want to present it. We'll have time for that, show movies, things like that. Basically, you know, the reason
weekend.
That I like to go to ghost conferences is every once in a while you meet somebody really cool that you end up, you know, really getting along with, get the same types of ideas and things like that. Because I can't tell you the last time that I've been to a paranormal convention where I've really seen anything groundbreaking or mind-blowing from, you know, anybody that's booked there to speak. And
right.
They're overpriced, and it's really just kind of a massive waste of time, except for some of the connections that you can make. So we want to do something without any pretense, something fun, and we're aiming to have this, you know, I don't want to say big thing, because I don't know how big it'll be, but it's, you know, something to get to get the ball rolling, an unconference of sorts.
Yeah, so if we can round up Reap, Polly, and the Ghost Divas in a great big Winnebago. Would there be a place
everyone's
for
invited.
Would there be a place for us to park?
No. Well, hopefully. We're still trying to pick out where it's going to happen and all that good stuff, but we're going to be having some open chats about like the planning stages, so everyone can be involved, and we can figure out what works best for everybody.
How about somewhere? Because it might be a little less expensive if you did it like just right outside of Chicago, Denver. That's what I'm saying, right outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that might be. That might be
in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Actually, we could get you an inn.
No. We're hosting it, so we want it to be cheap for us to be there.
Well, that's selfish, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the whole plan,
this
right?
This is why there's a fight
going
on.
We want all of our friends to come to us.
You know what? Just fuck you, you pussies. I am sick and tired of this selfish... Oh, God. Greg, I am really over talking to you at this point.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
And we really do appreciate you coming on the show not wasted this time.
Absolutely.
That's a big contrast to Reap right there. But I know you really set the precedent, though, with your last one.
Well, you know, hopefully next time I'll go for the gold and see if I can set the bar even lower.
Why bother with a bar?
Yeah, really. Why? Yeah, you don't need a bar.
Screw it. I'll crawl.
Yeah. But we really appreciate you being on the show. We will talk with you soon and keep the Who Forwarded coming.
Sounds good.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, see you.
There, it finally hung
up. So this is our 2-hour special.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I made it for the last half hour.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. What was the phone call?
Breaking news, people.
Oh, wait, it's not. I got it. I'm sorry. Just give me. I've been trying to run a show here. Oh, God.
You were running it.
I was.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay, breaking newses.
You mind if I interrupt you? Because I want to say right now that...
To all.
That what, next y'all. Week we're going to have...
Oh, well, that was part of my breaking news.
But I have an add-on to this.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to get extra information about this. We have a guest next week, but the following week, if there's nothing going on Monday for you ladies, we want the Ghost Divas on.
Oh, that would be cool.
Oh, yay!
Okay, because they are absolutely right. We had talked about having them on, and then somehow...
We just ignored them.
We just ignored the fuck out of them, and that was just rude. That was just rude, but yeah, we got a little distracted with Halloween, I think.
Really?
Was the problem, so...
I don't even remember Halloween. It's like a blur.
I know. It was crazy. So yeah, if the week after next,
we're
if we...
We're getting some yeses in the chat room.
Good, good. Well, then we will get some emails going and get that solidified.
Yeah.
Now, back to hopefully what we'll be talking about next week's cast.
Oh, I got to start with that? Okay. Coming up next week...
You mind if I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Because... What? No, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
See, now I got to do it again. Coming up next week, Joe, Mr. Paranormal...
Nickel.
Yeah. We will have Mr. Joe Nickel on the air. We have been trying for him for 6-7 years now.
So all we had to do... No, it wasn't your boobs.
We don't have any video.
No, well, what we had... Well, now they know. What we had to do, actually, is tell him that we were Larry King.
That's true.
And he's like, sure, I'll...
We are Larry King.
Well...
That's true. You got Larry King.
We have to tell him about the ET commission.
You got one guy doing the mouth and one guy doing the voice. So
we have to tell him about the ET commission.
Yes, we will.
We will.
We'll be talking about that definitely. So we're very excited to have Joe Nickel on next week, and also. Oh, and there's more.
Apparently, this is a pre-record. We're doing it tomorrow, but tune in Sunday morning at 11 Eastern. For those of you that are actually up that time.
11 Eastern.
At WBNW 1120AM.com. That was a lot to say.
W-what?
WBNW.
Natora is typing that for the chat room.
1120AM.com.
You probably don't want a space in there, though. Or you can put all the spaces you want. Either way. .com.
Yeah.
All right.
Live from Boston, or actually canned from Boston, will be us on the On the Street radio program with Mr. Stan Romanek.
Mr. Stan Romanek is the man that was supplying the evidence for Jeff Heckman's ET commission.
And that's why I wasn't here for the first part of the show. I was actually giving... all of the inside scoop to the people who will be interviewing him, so they have a little ammo to have.
Oh, was that the
That was the two hosts. Show.
Okay, because we thought you might have been talking to our author.
Yeah.
So
no, that was our hosts. They wanted.
Of course, now he'll know because he watches the show. I mean, He listens to the show.
He listens.
Doesn't listen.
I'm sure that Romanek is listening.
His minions.
Yes, he does have many minions.
Seek him.
Yes.
Tell him we won again. It has backfired yet once again.
Yes, his book,
Messages.
Yes.
The most documented ever.
Yeah, that was really funny. That's a question. They were like, have you read Stan's book? I said, I know the guy that wrote it. What do you want?
Oh, we're going to have a deep throat. Yeah, yeah.
That's just thick.
Well, it's for a purpose.
That's true.
A higher purpose.
That's true. But it's not going to be me.
Oh, all of a sudden now you're not available?
Not unless it reaps on the other end.
I was just going to say, so. Reap has to speak for you.
So, well,
shall we call it the hour and a half long show tonight?
Yeah,
I think we should call it the 2 hour spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Reap
went,
is Reap wanting to call back in, or is Reap just wanting to talk to me later?
Mention SRN Live. Who's this SRN Live he keeps talking
about? I know. What is SRN Live?
Okay, what is that?
We don't know what SRN Live is.
If you look down at the bottom of the chat room, slightly to the left, you will see this. We are available through SRN Live, Paranormal Talk Nightly.
We know this?
Yeah, right here.
Oh.
Huh. Oh, wait a minute. We got a phone call coming in here.
That's who we're broadcast from, people.
Oh. Hello?
You're on SRN Live now. Duh.
What? What's that?
Oh, man. Pete's probably feeling a jabbing in his gut right now.
So is that an initialism or an abbreviation?
Ask Rick, quick.
Acronym.
That's,
Rick.
That's an initialism.
Rick, honey.
That's funny. Actually, yeah, we're going to be creating a commercial here soon for them, about us and them. So,
oh, didn't really? I send you a commercial for my show? You didn't play it tonight. What's up with that?
I did not get one from you.
I'm going to send it to you. Yeah.
Would you?
That's because a threat. That's something we could be nice.
I'm sending you a fucking commercial.
If we can get Reap and the Divas to send us one, at least we could play something different.
Yeah, yeah. If the Divas would send us a commercial too, we'll play both of those.
Yeah, totally. We should. And let me say one thing. I'm going to say I'm glad all this shit is over with.
Yeah, us too. Us too. Again. Yeah. Anything you want to start though?
What? Start with what?
Any Robbie Thomas, you mean? Well, no. Any new shit you want to start with us or start something with the Ghost Divas? That might be kind of fun. Let's get this a little incestuous.
No, I've already argued with the Ghost Divas, man. Oh, okay. It's not fun to argue with them.
Okay. Because they're women.
Arguing with women isn't fun. Duh. What's up with that?
I know. I have Nator sitting next to me. I know.
I know. It's just slap you around. You know, you can kick your ass. You know that, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you can beat up young boys, but Nitro would totally kick your ass.
Yeah. You're right. It's
smiling and in heels.
It is just no fun.
Yeah.
It's just
great.
No fun.
Totally.
You know,
I'm totally imagining they're kicking your ass. And you know what? You know what would be funny? Is you'd be texting the whole time when they're trying to fight.
That's true. Fuck you.
Sorry, man. The truth hurts. Sorry, Patrick.
But yeah. Send over the commercial. We'll have it on for next week.
Okay, cool.
And Ghost Divas, same thing. And if the Who Forted guys want to do a commercial to send over to us, we'll play that too. So
I want to try and get them on SRN Live. I wonder if they can do two feeds at once. That'd be good.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
So
we'll see if we can get that. If they want to do that, then yeah, totally. I think we can work that out. That'd
you
be
know,
awesome.
There's no reason we can't spread that love around like it was Miracle Whip.
As long as we're not united behind.
Just like do like the Three Stooges with the multiple slap thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad this turned out the way it did. And you want to mention any upcoming guests you've got coming up?
Actually, we have Bonnie Spittler coming on this Tuesday.
Who?
And Bonnie Spittler, she's from Ghostly Talk.
Okay. Oh, I thought you said something else. I was thinking porn star.
No. No, Ghostly Talk doesn't do a show anymore, but yeah, we want to get her on because we had Doug. We had Scott on, but we're going to get Bonnie on because we missed her on the last show, so we'll get her on and see what she has to say.
Uh-huh. Cool.
So that'll be the next thing. That'll be this Tuesday coming up. And on Friday, who we have on Friday? Oh, we have Christopher Caller, who does a lot of movies. He's going to actually help me with the movie that I did, that Shermer did audio for me on.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So he's going to help me do that. I have the graphics for the animation, so he's going to be on, and he's going to take all my graphics, and he's going to make them into a movie, and Michael Shermer's there, and it has Chris Moon, and it has Chip Coffey on it, too, but they don't know it.
Why are we in it?
Yeah, we...
So it'll be really good. It's about, yeah, it'll be very interesting. Hopefully it'll, like, yeah, slam people upside the head. We'd like to see that. And, actually... Matt's going to come on our show, too. I'm looking forward to talking a bunch of shit with him.
Awesome, awesome.
We're going to pat things up again.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
and
we're going to have...
Yeah, we have Tom Halstead coming on, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're looking forward to seeing how that one goes down.
Yeah, and like I said, Brian, call me at the show.
You got it.
All right, thanks a lot, Reap. We will talk with you soon. Thanks for calling.
I love you, Baxter. You're so hot.
Love you, Reap. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Right, bye.
Already.
See ya.
Goodbye. Already.
You know, that's the hardest thing is saying goodbye sometimes. It's the hardest thing. So, all right. That was a very interesting show that I don't even know what to say now.
It was our Christmas spectacular, somebody said.
Well, yeah, but it had two soundtracks because it had you guys and then it had me wandering in the background.
Well, it did. You know, you sounded about like the trains. Nobody was paying attention.
God bless everyone.
Oh, thank you, little Timmy. channeling.
God, this was the gayest episode we've ever done, I think.
Maybe it's a good thing I missed part of
it. Doesn't bother me if gay wipes off on me.
Ew.
It just means more men.
That's kind of, I got a bad visual.
Oh. Any antibacterial wipes or anything?
I got some Clorox ones. All right, we will get out of here. Everybody, we really appreciate it. I am not.
You guys fisting the paranormal. That should be a slogan.
Nice, Matt.
That
yeah.
should be.
That is. Thanks, Matt. We're taking that.
All right. Yeah, we got it. Copyright it right now.
Yeah, we are taking that.
Rocky
and
Paranormal Radio.
Karen, if you ever listen to this, I love you.
The paranormal. Oh, he's got it bad.
I do. I got it really bad.
Yes.
I admit it. All right, so let's get a song here to end this with. And what do you think? Let's build a snowman?
I think you need to write that as a song.
What?
Fisting the paranormal?
I could.
You should.
I could.
You can just take face fist and
Fisting the paranormal. I'll get working on that.
All righty.
That'll be our lead out song next week. All right, so we've got Joe Nickel coming up. And we got Ghost Divas following that.
Yay!
And we'll see how things go with Matt on the On Reap show.
It's now a soap opera. No, docu-soap.
Docu-soap.
It's now
That's what all this is. This
yes.
is a docu-soap. You know, this whole weird thing would make a great TV show.
Everything
it,
we do would
make
a good
an episode.
TV show.
an episode. So, well, yeah, but I mean, every week it changes. So...
Yeah, but it's not always as good as this.
Well, that's true.
This is the best show ever, and it's documented.
It's
always the best
show
ever.
Think this is the best show ever, honestly.
This is the best show ever.
All right, if you say so. I'll take it.
Okay.
All right, good night, everybody.
Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them. But now I believe them. Somebody told me that you were so stupid.